Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This weekend, we're celebrating the historic Christian feast day known as St. Michael and All Angels. It's a day to remember and celebrate the work of all of God's holy angels. And the title singles out one angel in particular, Michael the Archangel. You might wonder, you know, God made millions of angels. Why do we single out one angel in particular? And there's some good reasons for that. Today, we finish our sermon series on angel by focusing on one of the most overlooked heroes of the Bible, the Archangel Michael. I want to share with you four important points about the Archangel Michael. Number one, Michael means who is like God. That's the meaning of his name. So who is Michael? He's one of the two angels in the Bible mentioned by name. Jude 1 verse 9 says, "But when the Archangel Michael, contending with the devil..." Does anyone know the other angel mentioned by name? If you do, you probably know him. His name is Gabriel, right? Gabriel and Michael are the only two angels mentioned by name in the Bible. Gabriel, we know from the book of Daniel and the book of Luke, when he announces the births first of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus. And we're going to hear a lot more about Gabriel when we get to Advent and Christmas this year. Now, the name Gabriel means God is great. The name Michael means who is like God. It's a rhetorical question. The answer, of course, is no one is like God. Michael is mentioned by name in Daniel, in Revelation, and right here in the book of Jude. The fact that angels have names means that they are personal beings. They, like human beings, are individuals created by God, each one unique, different from the other. Each angel has their own name. They have their own relationship with the Lord. And although they belong to different ranks, such as angels or seraphim or cherubim or thrones or powers or dominions, in those ranks, each has their own individual name and their own work to do. So Michael's not a thing. He's a person. He's not human. He doesn't have flesh and blood like we do, but he is a person. Michael is an angel. As for his rank, well, his rank's given to us in Jude 1:9. He's an archangel. And that's point number two. Number two, Michael is an archangel. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But the dragon was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. Revelation 12, 7, and 8. These verses teach us some important points about who Michael is. First of all, number one, under that, archangel means angel of the highest rank. Michael is an archangel. As far as we know from the Bible, he's the only archangel. Gabriel is mentioned as an angel of the Lord, but is never referred to as an archangel in the scriptures. Archangel means angel of the highest rank, the chief angel. So, if this was the U.S. Army, Michael would be a five-star general. If this were the U.S. Navy, Michael would be the admiral. He's the leader of the angels, as we see in Revelation chapter 12. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. In every text that Michael's mentioned in, he's acknowledged as chief among the angels. You say our God is a God of order, not of disorder. There's a definite order that God created for the angels. Michael is the archangel, the leader of God's angels, the leader of God's angelic armies. Which brings me to the second thing that this verse brings out, which is that Michael is a warrior angel. When we see Michael in the scriptures, he's usually fighting. He's usually engaged in battle with the demonic forces that have rebelled against God. In Daniel, he's fighting against demonic forces. In Jude, he's contending with Satan. And here in Revelation, he's leading God's angelic armies against the dragon, Satan, and his angels. He is a warrior angel who fights for the Lord and defends God's people. He's not only a warrior angel, he's a powerful warrior angel. Not only is he a powerful warrior angel, he is a victorious warrior angel. Time and time again, we see Michael prevailing, which is what Revelation chapter 12 describes. The battle at the beginning of time, there was war in heaven. Satan and his army rebelled against God. When Satan and his demons were thrown out of heaven, it was Michael and his angels who defeated him. And that brings me to the third thing that Revelation 12 teaches us. Michael is the opposite of Satan. A lot of people think Satan is the opposite of God. That is incorrect. There is no opposite to God. God alone is omnipotent, all-powerful. God alone is omniscient, all-knowing. And God alone is omnipresent, which means present everywhere. There is no opposite to God. He alone is the almighty creator of the universe. God has no opposite. The opposite of Satan is Michael. Satan is a fallen angel who leads other fallen angels called demons. Michael is the leader of God's holy angels. Michael and his army fought against Satan and his army, and as the scriptures tell us, Satan, the dragon, was not strong enough. He was cast down from heaven, down to earth, where he still dwells today. Jesus, who is God, tells his disciples he was there for that battle. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And now, since he cannot attack God, Satan has turned his attention to us. So God has sent Michael, the angelic, and his angelic armies to help guard and protect us. Thanks be to God. Number three, Michael helps other angels. Daniel 10, verse 13. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Daniel 10, 13. Michael, in his role of archangel, helps other angels. We talked about how in God's kingdom, the powerful always serve the less powerful. That is true in God's angelic order as well. Michael, who is the highest ranking angel, comes to the aid of other angels. We see this in Daniel 10, our Old Testament lesson today. An angel comes to Daniel in a vision in answer to Daniel's prayer for help. The angel explains he would have come sooner, but he was delayed for 21 days by the Prince of Persia. The Prince of Persia was not the human prince. The Prince of Persia is not the video game. The Prince of Persia refers to a demon who was occupying that territory. This angel was resisted. He could not get past this demon for 21 days. But then Michael, one of the chief princes, the chief angels, came to his aid and helped him overcome the demonic resistance. And he was able to come and give Daniel the message. So I think we see two important lessons here. First of all, angels are not God. They are not all powerful. Sometimes the angels themselves need help. Only God is all powerful. Angels are not. The second important lesson is that angels use teamwork. They work as a team, which I think is a great example for us, because that's what the church is called to be, part of God's team. When the Son of God became incarnate, he began his ministry by putting a team together. He called that team the church. It started with 12 men that he personally trained, and that team eventually turned the world upside down. You see, the church is not a bunch of individuals doing our own thing with our own agendas. The church is a team. It's God's team, and we have one leader, and his name is Jesus Christ. We, like the angels, work together as a team to accomplish Christ's mission. That's why we're called to serve one another and help each other out. We're called to look out for each other. Like the angels, we are called to be a team. Which brings me to my fourth and final point. Number four, Michael rejoices over the salvation of sinners. Luke 15, verse 10. In the same way, I tell you that there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Michael's mission is the same as ours, which is that of Christ Jesus, the mission of Jesus. Luke 19, verse 10, this is what Jesus says. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, sinners like you and me. That's behind everything Jesus does. And it should be behind everything we as the church do as well. Everything we do as the church, everything the angels do, is ultimately about that mission to seek and to save the lost. Jesus, in Luke chapter 15, he makes the same point three different times. He tells a parable, three different parables, parable of the lost sheep, parable of the lost coin, parable of the lost son. And in all three of those parables, it ends with the same thought from Jesus, that when sinners are saved,
the angels rejoice and celebrate. There is more rejoicing in heaven over one person who repents. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. Angels, like Michael, rejoice in the salvation of sinners. When sinners are saved, the angels rejoice and they celebrate. What makes Michael and the other angels sing for joy? When people repent and believe in Jesus Christ, their Savior. That's the ultimate goal. That is the ultimate victory. It is their ultimate joy. It's the very reason Jesus came to earth, to save sinners like us. When people believe, when there's a baptism, when there's a confirmation, when somebody confesses Jesus Christ, when someone comes back to church after being absent a long time, when two people who are mad at each other reconcile through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the angels in heaven rejoice. Michael rejoices. Jesus reminds us that in our gospel lesson today, that ultimately our mission is not just about beating the devil. It's about saving people from sin and eternal death. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The disciples got distracted from that. When the disciples came back from the mission trip Jesus sent them on, they rejoiced that the demons submitted to them in the name of Jesus. Jesus reminded them, you know, I've seen Satan defeated time and time again. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, but that's not what this is all about. It's about the salvation of people. It's about people coming into the kingdom of God. That's the ultimate victory. That's the ultimate joy. It's about one day, you and I, and the great multitude being in heaven with Jesus. That's the real victory. Jesus reminds the disciples, and he reminds us, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.